But it was just, it's just always amazing to me that it's the simple things. You know, sometimes people overthink a gift. Did you ever get a gift that was maybe too much thought through and they try to pull it all off, and at the end it's just like, gift certificate to a massage would have been great, you know? Just something simple. Just keep it simple. And I just felt like in a very simple way we went out and we really just impacted the community. The mayor walks in the front of the parade and then just all different honor guards and different representatives from the different law enforcement agencies in our area, and just so many folks out there, and we come through, and clearly with the greatest following going down the middle, and just we impact so many people. And if you've never made one of our parades, you'll have another chance on 4th of July when we go through the streets of Saugerties. And I think even in though it's a smaller community, I'd be tempted to guess that about the same amount of people come out and line the streets, if not more, in Saugerties. Something about Saugerties, and I just love that community. It's where we moved back down to Kingston from just a few years ago. And so I just know that we're going to have an impact there. And sometimes it's just you walking through with your smile, handing out an invitation or bouncing a little stress ball to someone or handing it to a child, your children handing out candy to children. It's just such a powerful but simple demonstration of God's love. And I just know that there's a lot of folks that probably see us walk by and think, eventually when I'm ready to go to church or visit a church or whatever, I'm going to check that place out. And that's just what we're doing. We're sowing seeds, and a lot of work goes into that. Thanks so much to the guys that pulled that parade float off, built it, decorated it. My sister has a big hand in that, but there's so many other folks that just come alongside and just make that whole thing happen. And we're going to get to do it again 4th of July in Saugerties. So let's get excited and continue to move. So just a few things I want to get to before I share the message I believe I should share this morning with us is we had prayer meeting Wednesday night, and that was a great time. We had a real a precious presence of the Lord here as we prayed, and a few of the things that came out, and I just felt to bring them to you for those that couldn't make it out on Wednesday night. Well, it was this word about watching and praying, and it was connected to the community. It was connected to seeing the need that's right in front of us sometimes, and just meeting simple needs sometimes is all we really need to do. A handshake, a smile, hey, it's going to be all right. Little comments, little phrases like that, sometimes when you can see someone's dealing with something, can really maybe change their day, but maybe change their life. Maybe give them a sense of, hey, I'm not alone out here. Somehow I'm noticed, I'm recognized. And I just want us to always remember that watching and praying is something that is, it doesn't, watch and pray. Jesus said, watch and pray. Several times there's this watch and pray. There's this see, then look. If you're not looking for it, you won't see it. That's the first point I'll just tell you. If you're not looking for it, you probably just won't see it. You'll be like everybody else and you just walk right by. You'll see the man in the ditch and figure, somebody else will come and take care of him. He's not my responsibility. But watching with Jesus' eyes means that there's going to be a connection, and then to pray, to watch and to pray. And the reminder came again on Wednesday night prayer meeting that it's a spiritual struggle that we're up against. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood and politicians who aren't getting it right. We're not wrestling with those things. There is a spiritual resistance that we face as believers in Jesus Christ, as spiritual beings reserved and born again for a place called heaven when we leave this life, that we're reminded throughout all of the New Testament that we're spiritual beings primarily, that this life experience is not the be-all and end-all of our existence. And so when we just recognize that as we watch and pray for our community, I would encourage you, make it part of your daily drive. When you're driving through, don't just worry about how quickly you're going to get to the store you're going to. Look at the person in through the window of the car parked next to you at the light. But just see, maybe they're not looking at you, and don't stalk them, make weird eye thing crazy, It'll make them uncomfortable. But I often just look, because most people, they don't want anyone to notice them, and they don't want to notice anybody. Have you noticed that? It's like, those horses with the blinders, like we're just all supposed to go through our lives and mind our own business and everybody's going to be happy, but we weren't created for that. Especially as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, we're created to change this world that's broken and damaged from sin. And we do it with the message of the good news, that Jesus is the answer, that His love can change them. But if we don't even go as far as making eye contact or just take inventory, just maybe there's nothing that happens, but just this shift of hey, maybe I need to see something. Awareness is what they train you. If you're going to go into any sort of military law enforcement, one of the first things they try to develop in you is just awareness of your surroundings, because many people aren't. It's very dangerous to go through this battle that we're in and just kind of have your own space and think that that's just going to be all that. You know, we have to be constantly assessing what's happening around us. What are the people that are around us going through? We get insular and focused on what we're going through, and we're all going through stuff. It's not about that we're all, you know, we have to get into a perfect place to help someone. We've got to just be mindful that they're going through things too. And when we just shift our perspective and focus and we get outside of a self-focused existence, then all of a sudden we're going to discover that simple acts of simply just recognizing somebody, noticing that they look nice, maybe you can tell that she just had a facial, or she just had a haircut, or she just got her hair color done, you know, because there's no gray at the top or whatever, you know, and you can just, this little thing, say, hey, that color looks good on you. It's amazing. Why not? I say that and it's like, whoa, that would be weird, but that's because we're trained by this world to just live these insulated little lives. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. The light gets shared by everybody. We're the salt of the earth. We're supposed to bring flavor to everyone that we go near and that we touch. We can have that confidence that greater is the one who's in us than the one that's in the world. And when you just step forward in that confidence of I'm not afraid to give someone an encouraging word, all of a sudden you're going to start to feel it. And you're going to start to feel the effect of that. Like I know the folks who did this parade felt. That we got to the end and we felt like, you know, we touched some lives. We encouraged some people. We really blessed some folks. And there was tears and many different things. And some of the veterans just got overwhelmed by the gratitude of people just walking up. You know, maybe they had a military hat on. It designated them as a Marine or a Navy member. And just the thankfulness. There was one guy with a POW flag by the end. He was just in tears. He had just had tears going down his cheeks as the group of us finished going by, because he just couldn't process the number of people that stepped to him and said, sir, thank you for your service. Children this big, sir, thank you for your service. Grown-ups, older people, women, thank you for your service. That's simple. I mean, anybody can do that. It's only thank you for your service. But when appreciation is given, thankfulness is expressed, there's a connection that begins to be made. Thanking people that just work at the cash registers, thanking people that are in the parking lot pushing shopping carts. Some of what we need to do in our community is just very, very simple. And does that save them and bring them to heaven? No. But it opens their heart to say, man, someone cares about me. Remember, it was the kindness of Jesus that leads men to repentance. It was the fact that he was relentless in his love that eventually overwhelmed my life and my heart. And eventually I had to open my heart to him because he just wouldn't go away. He was determined to show me that regardless of what a knucklehead I could be, that he still loved me. He hadn't changed his mind. He wasn't fickle the way I was. And we can do that. People don't just need to walk around insulated. We need to break down that. And some people are going to look at you funny. That's okay. But for the person that it was meant for, their life can really be open and their heart can be changed. So I just want to encourage you in that. It's just one of the takeaways from the parade. Every time we do it, I feel a little more encouraged that, yeah, I'm reminded it is that simple. We don't have to have a soapbox and just preach the gospel on every street corner that we go by to have effect. We can just simply show love and let the Holy Spirit work and draw them in and allow them to experience his love for themselves. And so this Wednesday, we've got our United service, our leaders meeting just before that at 6:15. We'll be just discussing some of the things we've got going on. I just want to talk about the size of some of what Kingsfire is. Many people don't know. We're a few different properties now, and different places need maintenance and upkeep and care, and just mostly it's maybe for some of the guys, but girls too. Just, you know, I just want to express my heart and just make sure everybody knows just what God's doing and try to get everyone, there's some new folks that maybe don't understand all that Kingsfire is and where we've come from and where we're going, and so it's going to be a little bit of that, but I just want to see who we've got that maybe want to roll up their sleeves and just take good stewardship of some of these projects we've got going on and up and coming over the summer and into the fall. So we're going to cover some of that stuff at that 6:15 leaders meeting, and then afterwards we'll have our United service. So please make it out for that. It's always a powerful time of prayer, worship, and praise, and just getting together and celebrating Jesus. And before I get into my message, just mention, if you notice it's a little quieter this morning, Gilly and Pastor Don are not here. They're in Jamaica. So I'm sure it's a whole lot louder down there. And people getting fired up, right? Let's get fired up. So that's what's happening just an island away. But we missed them this morning. We just want to remember them in our prayers as well. And so whoever was here last Sunday, you know that Pastor David Cordo shared an amazing message on just Memorial Day and his own testimony. And just some of what he encountered in his life of being a rebel and coming to the Lord and just surrendering and how much he could look back and see God's hand in so many of the events of his life, being a Vietnam War veteran, and just the power of that story, the power of that testimony, the power of forgiveness, and being called back to that place and ministering over 25 times, just the gospel of Jesus Christ, of forgiveness of sin, and just seeing and feeling that atmosphere was just so overwhelming to me. But it began me on a path of thinking, and I didn't forget about Ephesians, because the message today is about forgetfulness, and so don't think I forgot about Ephesians. We will go back and we'll finish Ephesians, and we're in chapter 5 if you want to do some pre-reading and read ahead, and, you know, like teacher used to say that to you as a class, if you want to read ahead, you know, the next chapter and get ready for next week's lecture, and whoever read ahead by, you know, when it wasn't mandatory, right? Nobody, at least I didn't, but maybe some of you did. You know, nobody reads ahead. Just give it to me as it comes. But the fact is, if you want to read ahead, get through Ephesians 5, and that's where we're going to go. But I just felt to touch this topic of forgetfulness, because as I began to ponder it, I began to realize, you know, I'm sure on a day-to-day basis, Pastor David Cordot and his wife don't think about those moments in Vietnam. They don't think about those grenades, that not on a daily basis, but it's something that when he pulls it back to memory and he brings it back to the present, it has such power to encourage his faith, and not just his, but ours. And I just began to think about this reality of how much of our life would change if we would be better stewards of our memories, better at selecting the ones that we bring into the presence, better at remembering the good stuff, forget the junk, but remembering the good stuff and pondering on it and allowing it to build our faith. And I feel like there's so much in Scripture about forgetting that I just wanted to spend some time this morning, because we've covered so much already in Ephesians. As I'm going back through and looking back through what we've already covered, I think, man, if we really grasped this and really ran with what we've already covered, we could like change this whole area. We could change the state. This fire of the Holy Spirit could kindle in the hearts of thousands. But we seem to forget. We seem to be needing a reminding. And it's not something, as I'm studying, I'm finding is exclusive just to Christians. This is something that we seem to be born with. It's not just something that happens when we get old. Now, we know there's Alzheimer's disease, old timer's disease, that is tragic, and it's the simple decay of the organ called the brain. Our brain is an organ. It's an imperfect organ. Same ways you can have problems with a different organ, your brain can have physiological problems. It's called Alzheimer's. It doesn't remember things correctly. It's not processing the right way. And physiologically, people lose their memory. They lose their ability to remember. And so they forget everything. And it's tragic. They forget everything that's short term. Sometimes they have long term stuff they can pull back from the past. But if you've ever lived with someone or worked with someone that has Alzheimer's, it's a very, very tragic thing. And they've got their full faculties. There's nothing else wrong with them. They just simply forget everything. And I think, how debilitating. They got to be like locked away. They got to be under care. If they get out on the street, they can do harm to themselves and to someone else. They can get completely lost because they don't remember how to get back. They don't remember their name sometimes. Memory is something that's so critical, and that's taking it from the extreme so you can just hear the power of it. But then how do we bring it back someplace into where we all live, that what we remember and how we remember it is so critical to our faith? It's so critical to our being able to mature into the fullness of what Jesus has for us that he covers it in so many scriptures. The Bible's just full as you begin to investigate this phenomenon that happens with human beings called they forget. They forget. It's happened through the Old Testament, happens through the New Testament. Jesus' disciples forgot things. We'll read a story in a little while about they forgot to bring bread on the journey they were going on, and they're in the boat bickering over whose fault it was they forgot to bring the bread. You know, there's just... It's a human condition. It's a human reality that no matter how hard you try, you're going to forget something. And it's not just an old person thing. It's not just a middle-aged thing. Children forget, right? Has everyone had children? Or if not, you've been a child, so maybe you were the one that did the forgetting. But the fact is, you know, children forget to brush their teeth. They forget to take a shower. At least they say they forgot, but, you know... Did you take a shower yet? Oh, no, I forgot. Did you put your dishes in the sink? Oh, no, I forgot. It's just the classic. Did you do your homework yet? Oh, I forgot. Like it's even in their language. It's one of the first reasons that's given, and people, they have a bit of grace for it. Why? Because we all realize we've all got this problem. We all forget basic things. Did you ever forget something really, really important, like pay a bill on time? And your phone doesn't work, or your card just declined at the store, and you're like, what's going on? Oh, You know, we forget things that are really important to me. Some things are relationally extremely important, like how about anniversaries? What's the very worst thing you can do to an anniversary? Even a birthday. It's kind of just an anniversary, right, of someone's birth. But an anniversary, like, you know, husband, wife, anniversary, you forget that? I mean, we all know we forget, but that can be taken very personally, right? Because a person feels like they didn't just forget the date on the calendar, but personally it feels like, well, if they can forget the date that it happened, maybe they've forgotten me. And we take it, there can be deep offense. I mean, it can be very costly. You can go through, you know, chocolates and roses and you know, massages and everything else trying to redeem yourself from forgetting one of those anniversaries. And even then, you still might not come out in good standing or as good of standing as if you had just simply remembered it. Forgetfulness affects every day of our lives. How many times do you forget your keys? You go to the car, you forgot the keys. You go back inside, you remember something else, you get back in the car and you forgot your keys. I'm not being too, I don't want to reveal too much about my life, but maybe some of you did that once or twice in your life too. You know, you go to the store, you forgot what it was, you go back in, you come back to the car and you forgot. I forget things twice sometimes. I mean, sometimes it's just this processor that we've been given, our brain, the CPU of our bodies. It's that central processing unit. I think, Tom, is that it? Okay. Nice big words. Central processing unit of our bodies is just our brain. It's a computer. Electronically, it manages the rest of the human systems. And sometimes it's just overloaded. Sometimes there's just no way it can process all the information it's inundated with, and some stuff's just going to get pushed out. And short-term memory, you know, RAM, random access memory is what computers call it, that ability to just randomly access and keep pulling things in and putting them in level of importance in front of us so we don't forget what we went shopping for, that can just be overwhelmed simply by the pace of this life that we live. So memory's not always something that's derogatory when we forget something and we make a mistake, but it's part of our experience, and it's such a critical part of our experience. I feel like we need to look at the Bible and see what in the world does it have to say about this part of us that's prone to forgetfulness. Because if we just ignore it and don't address it, apparently in the Bible we're going to discover that that doesn't work. We see what happened to the Israelites when they would forget, and we'll read some of those scriptures in a minute. But I just want us to just, I felt like I don't want to just do a topical message on forgetfulness and just do a word study and give definitions. But I do feel like there's something spiritual that's significant for this time that we live in, because I've noticed it's becoming more and more a part of the average life that we live. And we don't just grow out of it as kids. It's something that we've got to continually wrestle with. I mean, you know, children eventually, they remember their underwear and they remember to take a shower and they remember to brush their teeth and to get dressed in the morning, and they remember all those things, but then they forget other things. It's just an ongoing, it's the ongoing course of life. You know, they forget how to use their speedometer. I had police friends in college, and they'd say one of their opening questions, because initially they just want to talk to you when they pull you over. They want to, you know, test your level of just awareness. Are you intoxicated? Are you whatever? Is there anything sketchy going on? And so they'd say, you know, do you know why I pulled you over? No idea. Do you know how fast you were going? No idea. That's the most common response that they would get. There's a gauge right on the front of your car, but somehow, you know, you forgot how to use it. Or you just, you know, you forget other things. You know, we forget to put our seatbelts on. You know why I pulled you over? No. You don't have your seatbelt on. Ah, I forgot. Doesn't work. They still, you know, going to write you a ticket anyway. The fact is they're just trying to do their job. But this part of forgetfulness, it affects every part of our lives, and that's just the natural. But if it's that strong in the natural, is it possible that there's a spiritual reality about forgetfulness that can cripple us and keep us from being able to be fruitful and being able to move forward in this walk of faith that we're called to? Forgot. That wasn't on purpose either. I wish it was. I wish it was. I did that last week too, I think, or 2 weeks ago. All right, leave it off. Don't need a three-peat. I mean, one of the greatest movies ever made, Home Alone. So great they had to make, was it three of them they finally ended up making? Why? Because we can all connect with that reality of it could happen to us. How many parents have forgotten, you know, don't raise hands or talk about it, but, you know, we have 10 children. There's been some times where you just forget they're with you. You forget, you know, we never forgot them on top of the car or any of that stuff that happens, but it's part of our human condition. And if we think it doesn't carry over into this spiritual walk of faith that we're called to, I think the Word's going to show us that it does. And we've got to be intentional about how we're going to address the issue. And so we talk about, you know, our brains are just overloaded. There's not enough room. You know, sometimes they just don't get plugged in to recharge long enough. Anybody have sleep deprivation and then tried to like function on a final exam or something in college? You thought you're going to be clever and you're going to study all night and you're just going to make sure that, you know, coffee. And you sit and you look at the test paper and it's just like, you know, it's just not recalling anything. It's just not happening. Why? Because it didn't get recharged. Erica's laugh. You know, you plugged it full of information, but it's an organ. It needs time to process. It needs to be recharged. It needs to be rested. And the fact is, we, you know, as parents, my wife and I have 10 children, we forget some things. It's just part of our lives. Our lives are just overwhelmed with input and stimulus, and sometimes there's just not enough room, and sometimes there's just not enough recharge time for your brain to come back and function the correct way. You know, it's a funny thing, our kids never, at least not that I can remember, never asked for one of those dolls that, you know, cries and pees and poos, and not doesn't poo, but, you know, you pour the food in and it comes out the other end. They never asked for one of those special dolls, and I think it's because we always had a real one for them if they really wanted to. You know, we had the real version. They didn't need one of those fancy dolls. They had one of their own. But, you know, this way that we live, and it all happens before we're ready. Sometimes we're just going to forget things, but there's some things we just can't afford to forget. And some of them we're going to just look at this morning as we go to the Word and just look at some of these spiritual things and how God, for generations through the beginning all the way through until now, has been trying to get this ability to remember and to recall, even the power of our testimony, right? It's the most powerful thing we have, the blood of Jesus and the testimony. It's recalling to the present, remembering what He's done, and bringing it into our present moment. And so it's so powerful. Let's look at Deuteronomy 6, verse 10 through 12. And this is Old Testament. We'll start farther back. And it says, "It shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land which He swore to your fathers." Swore just means promised. It's not a bad thing that God did. He promised to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things which you did not fill. I mean, can you imagine? This is like hewn out wells which you did not even have to dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not have to plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware. Be mindful, be cautious, be alert, be looking around, be watching and praying, lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Isn't that incredible? They, with all that provision and all that blessing, He knew. I mean, you think they'd be so shocked and stunned. This doesn't happen to anybody. You hit the lottery. This happens to one in however many million people, and yet a person could forget. In the bounty and the blessing of what they've just incurred, they could forget that it was a blessing from the Lord that brought this into their life. Amazing. God knew something about us that we would need to be reminded of. In Psalm 78:42, I mean, this is just a few scriptures. The Bible's full of hundreds. They says, they did not remember His power, the day when He redeemed them from the enemy. This was a habitual problem for the Israelite people. They would habitually forget what it was they'd come from, and who had done it? Who had brought them out? Who had delivered them? They forgot the day. They forgot the time that He redeemed them from the enemy. And you might think, well, shouldn't this just be automatic? Like, why would we have to have something in place that helps us to remember and to remind ourselves and not to forget? I thought about that. That was a question that I asked myself. And the answer I've come up with is that it's fine, but this is a fallen world. This is a present evil age. There are laws of thermodynamics at play. One of them is the law of entropy, which says that systems go from higher levels of order to lesser levels of order. That energy moves from higher to lower. There's this law of decay. That we live in the place of decay. Yes, thank God for seed, because we can plant a seed, it decays, but new life comes from it. But the fact is, it's still a principle of this planet that it is in a state of entropy or decay. And when you have that condition going on, it doesn't matter how good something is, it's going to eventually erode and decay. And so remembering and not forgetting, and what God is telling his people is that you have to continually bring back and refresh yourself in the reality of what I've done. You've got to testify of what I've done. You've got to do these things, because if you don't, you're going to forget who it was that set you up the way that you've been set up, who it was that opened the Red Sea and allowed you to pass through, who it was and when it happened that he redeemed us from the enemy. And so therefore, it's not effortless. It does take thought. If you want to go upstream, it's going to take effort. If you want to go downstream, just jump on something that floats and you'll have no problem going downstream. But if you want to go upstream, if you're a fisherman, you've ever trout fished, you know, it's best to approach from downstream, because there's no smell and they don't know you're coming. And so you're working your way up. It takes effort. You're trying to push against the current. That's what remembering is going to take for us spiritually. And God's trying to set his people up. He doesn't want them to forget, because he knows something about what happens when we forget. He's watched his children go through it for so long, and how many times they've forgotten who he was, and therefore they fall into the sin and temptation of the enemy and fall under the curse of sin and death and forget that they were prepared for life. Because the reality is, spiritually, God is in the opposite direction. This world is in decay. He's in the process of new creation. We're new creation miracles. He's in the process of building an army. He's in the process of building a church, a bride that he's coming back for. She's being adorned. The word reveals that she's being adorned and made ready for the final day when he returns for her. That there's a process of being constructed against the decline and the decay. There's a reconstruction and a rebuilding that's in God's heart to do, but it's not going to happen if we quickly forget what we've just learned. We have to fight for it. We've got to contend for it. It says the cares of this life can come in and choke the very seed of new life that's placed in someone's heart. That there's always going to be resistance. And part of our faith is that we have to continually force ourselves to remember. And we're going to look at a few ways that we can accomplish this. Because if we don't, the natural slide just happens automatically. People say, how did they get so far? They were once this and now they're that. How did that happen? They just simply forgot. Things were deteriorating faster than they were being rebuilt. And we've got to be intentional about this. The Bible's clear that we have to be intentional. And so here's some ways of reminding, ways that I found in Scripture. And a couple of them are pretty obvious. Another one we'll look at first seems like it's kind of hidden a layer in. But I just love that God gives us solutions. Aren't you glad that he doesn't just remind us, you guys are just forgetful, and how long must I bear with you, and when are you going to get it right? He says those things, but then he says, you know what? My grace is sufficient. My spirit will bring the remembrance of my words that you're going to need. And he gives us solutions and answers, but if we don't apply them, then we miss out. And we don't grow, and we stay where we're not supposed to stay, because we're not advancing one thing on top of another. And so we've got to choose to remember. We can't forget. We've got to choose by faith to remember. And so one of the ways that we'll look at is in Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 11. And it says this, beware that you do not forget the Lord your God. Can you imagine God having to write down through Moses, write this for my people, warn them not to forget me. You imagine? They went through the Red Sea. They were centuries in slavery. He delivers them through all the plagues, all the miracles, delivers them out of that place through a Red Sea into the promised land. And in the place of bounty, all of a sudden they're going to forget. Yeah. And he knows this. And so he says, don't forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. He's connecting the remembering of what he's told us to do with the memory of him. If you stop doing what I've told you to do, you'll forget me. The antidote for not forgetting God, the remedy, is don't forget what he told us to do. Isn't it amazing? Have you ever been given a chore or an assignment by a professor or a parent just said, for me, it was go and fill the basement with wood. You know, we had a wood burner in the basement. My dad said, you know, you're not going and doing this and this until you fill up the spot where you threw it through a little window and it was all full to the top. And the whole time I'm doing that, I'm thinking about what I'm going to go do next. But the whole time I'm doing it, I'm thinking, is this enough? And then I'm thinking, when my dad comes and checks on the job that I did, is he going to say it was enough? No, better throw a few more in. Better throw a few more in. Is that enough? Well, am I going to the basement and look? He's going to look at it from this side. No, there's still room over here. Pull a few pieces down, make room. Go back and throw a few more. Because the last thing you want to do when you have a chore to do is to be called back to continue doing it when you thought you were done doing it. right? So the whole time you're doing an assignment, or I had a professor, it was very much the same thing. She was an English professor, and she'd give an assignment, and you know, writing is kind of vulnerable, I don't know, especially for guys, and she was a girl, and she was young, and only a few years older than I was, and I remember everything I wrote, the whole time I was writing the assignment given to me, I was thinking and imagining and picturing and trying to guess what she would be thinking as she was reading what I was writing. And so assignments are critical, chores are critical, jobs to do are critical, because as we're doing them, if we're obedient, we're going to constantly be thinking and reminded by default, subconsciously. You don't have to keep thinking about it, just do the work, be obedient to what God's shown us, and in the doing of that, we're not going to forget Him. It's actually brilliant. It's actually a brilliant strategy. We say, well, why can't God just do it Himself? He's all omnipotent and powerful. Why doesn't He just come in and save Kingston? Because He knows that if He did something like that, whatever, however many tens of thousands of people get saved, the church doesn't suddenly, you know, in a few years, is going to forget how it all happened. They're going to forget all the prayer meetings and everything that just touched heaven and heaven responded. We'll just be like, whoa, we got more money than we know what to do with. Let's just build, you know, Babel or something. We would forget. And so the best way for Him to protect us from forgetting Him is to give us something to do. His law and His commandments and His love one another as I have loved you. It's actually a graceful thing that He's done to remind us, hey, you're going to need me to do this one. You're going to be remembering how much you need me when you're trying to forgive that brother over there, that sister that's done that to you. Some of the things that we thought He just wants us to do it just because, maybe it's because He's trying to make sure we don't forget Him. Maybe there's something else behind it than just the simple doing of it that seems hard. He's trying to keep us connected. He doesn't want us to be so blessed and having life go so wonderful that we forget Him. Because He knows what happens when we forget Him and the enemy sees that we've forgotten Him. And we just suddenly step out of faith and now the enemy can just lure us off into everything that we see people and nations get lured off into. So that's one of the ways, is that by being obedient to His commandments, we're in a constant place of not forgetting Him. Another way we can do it is through praise. Praise to God from our hearts, out of our mouths, refreshes our memory, and it reminds us of who He is. In Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, it says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." See, when we praise Him, we're remembering all of His goodness. We're proclaiming all of His faithfulness. We're reminding our ears through our own mouth that He is God and we're not. And in doing that, it says we won't forget His benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Do you see that when you call to memory how good God is and His faithfulness, it says that there's an energizing effect to it? That a youthfulness can come back to your faith? That your spirituality can be recharged and refreshed simply by not forgetting His benefits and by praising Him for them? Thankful praise is powerful. Thankfulness is what touched that veteran on the street. Just thankfulness for what he had done. It produced a connection in him. Something began to connect in him. And the next thing you know, his emotions are involved and he's releasing tears of pain and whatever from his past. And who knows what loneliness he's been dealing with from the brothers that he lost when he was in battle there. See, God can just use thankfulness to produce connection. And praise is one of the ways we express in song usually, but not always, our thankfulness. We don't want to forget His benefits. In Psalm 77, it says, verse 10 through 12, "This is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord." Notice it's an act of the will. It's a choice and it's a decision. But as he's pulling them back into memory, something's happening. "Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds." You know, one of the takeaways from this message is that we must not be afraid to talk of His goodness to us. Because as it says, as we talk of His deeds, there's something that's going to change. Thankfulness for God's faithfulness, thankfulness for His benefits, thankfulness and reminding ourselves, praising Him for what He's done. It begins to refresh our faith. It begins to bring back, it says our youth will be renewed like the eagles. Who doesn't want to just soar above everything? Sometimes I'm so jealous of those crazy birds. We've got raptors all over our hill up there because we've got mice and squirrels, and I mowed down a lot of stuff that used to be overgrown, and so now it's just like buffet time for all the birds of prey, and it's been that way for like a year now, and so they've nested locally, and they've probably had offspring, and I just love it, but sometimes I'm just so jealous. Not that I want to like have to dive down and eat mice I like the Chinese, but the Mid-Hudson buffet better, but you know, they just got smorgasbord on squirrels and mice and chipmunks and rabbits. And I just watch them and I think, man, they just, it's just, I don't know. We must be able to fly in heaven, right? I mean, angels seem to be able to fly. There's just something, who doesn't want to just live at a level above where this world has everybody locked in and just down and depressed and looking for the next pill to try to just cope with another day? I don't want to live there, and I don't want to see God's people live there. We can rise above it, but it says that our youth will be renewed like that eagle's is simply by not forgetting all of his benefits and what he's already done. Another way we'll look at it is through prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, prayer is another way that we maintain this ability to stay connected and to not forget. It says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. I remember always thinking that was like, oh, really? I like going to church. I like the bagels and the coffee, but I got to pray all the time. Like, won't my knees start to hurt? Like, how am I going to do that? How am I going to be fruitful and have a job and pray without ceasing? But what he's reminding us, what Paul's saying to the Thessalonians is pray without ceasing. Then the next phrase, he says, in everything, give thanks. Prayer is not you asking God for stuff. Prayer is not just you interceding for the community and asking God to do something for someone else. Prayer is just simply communication and connection. You know, when you're on the phone with someone, you're just in that state of connection. I mean, I don't know if you were younger and you ever fell asleep talking to that love of your life when you were young, if you can remember that far back. But, you know, the phone just is on the bed and, you know, back then you had long distance calls. Remember those? You'd have a long distance plan and a local plan and the long distance numbers. And you could add up a massive phone bill if you let a long distance phone call just lay next to the pillow and fall asleep. They don't hang up theirs either. You know, but there was that, you still felt connected just because that communication line was open. Prayer is that. We can come boldly to the throne of grace anytime for the Lord's grace to meet our needs. And that's what he wants us to know. When we pray without ceasing, it's not constantly asking him for stuff. It's just having that attitude of everything we see. Look at a tree. Thank you, Lord. Just thank you that we have this creation that's as beautiful as it is. Thank you that we don't live on Mars. I guess if we lived there, we'd think it was great, right? But, thank you that we have this color, that we have flowers. Everything you see that's beautiful, that you know it was his engineering that crafted it, just give him thanks for it. Thank him for your children that are giving you a hard time. Thank you that you have the opportunity to have them, that there's a chance to train them and to raise them and to love them. Thank him for the difficult things and for the good things, but that constant thankfulness, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Not just the stuff that's happening, but your thankfulness in the midst of it is the will that he has for us. Why? Because he knows if we'll maintain this posture of praying and giving thanks for everything, we're connected and we won't forget him. One of the greatest hurdles we've got to face is that we would forget God. Don't think it's above you. I don't think that it's above me. I know that it's not above me. I don't want to forget the one who made me, who formed me, who blessed me with the family I was born into, who's blessed us with a community of believers of faith, who has blessed our lives as Americans, if nothing else. We have freedom. We can proclaim the gospel without fear of being arrested. We have so much to be grateful for. And in that place of giving of thanks, there's a sanctifying of our hearts, a reminder to our spirit and our soul that we're set apart, that we don't forget him. Philippians 4, Paul reiterates it, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. In the position of being constantly praying and petitioning heaven, our hearts will be guarded by his peace. Because we're connecting with the place where we can actually get help from. People seem to have forgotten that. It's amazing. This reality of God came to Adam and Eve daily. He was daily in fellowship with them. And that was lost. And so because of that, there's this ability to forget. They weren't going to forget that he was coming because he came every day. But then sin crept in and they had to be separated from God's just pure presence. And I think Jesus begins to touch on it very clearly in John 14, 26, when he tells us that the biggest benefit of the Holy Spirit is that he'll be our comforter. Let's read John 14, 26. The helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father is going to send in my name. He's going to teach you all things, and he's going to bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. Why? He doesn't want us to forget what Jesus said. Love God and love your neighbor. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. You see, those are the commands. If we're busy doing those two things, whether it's in our community, our family, or our workplace, we're not going to forget God, because we're going to need him moment by moment, because it's going to get tested. It's going to get tested. Oh, I don't feel like I can love God. You're going to have to give me the grace right now. We're connected. He's not intimidated by our petitions. He wants us there. He wants us to constantly be remembering that we need him. But if we don't step out in faith and we don't advance ourselves and see that we've got something, we're not going to tap in to what God wants to do, and we can easily forget. Jesus said, when he gave Paul the text for communion, what did he say? Do this in remembrance of me. To who? The disciples. How are they going to forget? They were just with him. They saw everything he did. They went through the whole process with him. But he said, do this in remembrance of me. Take the bread and the juice and let it be a connection. Do it to remember me. What in the world? How could they possibly? He knows something about the human condition that we sometimes might be in denial about. How often should we do it? Do it every time that you eat of it. In other words, whenever you get together, don't forget. That's why many people just pray a blessing over their food and say, thank you, God, for the meal they're about to eat. Because it's just every time we get together, we don't want to forget where it all comes from. There's people that don't have the table to sit at or the food on that table. We can pray for them, but this place of being connected is my point. Through prayer, through thankfulness, through obedience, and through praise, we can stay connected. We can continue to remember. Amazing statement, and if you forget history, you're going to be destined to repeat it. Many of you know that statement. You watch world history and you see it play out over and over. But we're going to close with this story. And it's in Matthew 16, verse 5 through 12. It's the story of when they forgot, the disciples forgot to get the bread. It's amazing that even the disciples had this issue. You know, they were next to Jesus. Oh, if I could have just been there, I would have got everything right. They couldn't even seem to remember just what food they were supposed to bring for the trip. You know, Jesus had everything under control. Like, they didn't have it, he fed them. And the miracles and everything, the storm was too great, they were going to sink, he stopped the storm. Like, they had the full provision right with them. And yet, their humanity was still very much in effect. When the disciples had come, this is Matthew 16, verse 5, New King James, it says, they'd come to the other side. They'd forgotten to take bread. So apparently they're going to a remote place. They probably should have grabbed it in the villages. Now they're going to a more remote place. They don't have anything to eat. I guess they probably, if they could forget, they probably could get hangry too. And so they were concerned that they had no bread. And Jesus said to them, he initiates this, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Leaven has to do with the yeast that goes into the bread to make it rise, right? So they're arguing about the bread. They're thinking, he's talking about this fact that he's trying to be coy about challenging us about what we forgot. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it's because we've forgotten, and it's because we've taken no bread. And Jesus, being aware of it, said to them, oh, you have little faith, why do you reason among yourselves because you've brought no bread? Do you not understand or remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, or how many baskets you took up? Or the 7 loaves that fed 4,000, and how many large baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I did not speak concerning to you about the bread, but to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And the amazing thing about this story is that it wasn't that they had forgotten. Clearly, they didn't forget. They're the ones that handed out the bread when he did the miracles of the feeding of the multitudes that he references, right? They didn't forget it. There's no way that 12 men, wait, what happened? No, tell me again. So tell me the story. What happened? So we were carrying the bread around? Like, that sounds crazy. Are you sure we actually did that? No, they didn't forget it. Like, they couldn't recall it.
It's just that in the moment they were missing something, and Jesus was trying to address this in what's being written here. They hadn't forgotten that it happened, but they forgot that because it happened, something was supposed to shift in their personal faith so that now they wouldn't be concerned and bickering over who forgot to get the bread. They would say, you know what? We're with Jesus. And whatever we've forgotten, you know what we know? When we're with him and we're connected with him and we're doing what he said and we're following him and we're doing the things that disciples do, he's going to have it covered. And they could have gone to him and say, Jesus, you know, we're sorry we forgot the bread. Thank goodness you've got the power to just make this stuff appear. And if we get hungry later, we've got no doubt. We've got full confidence in you. But they missed it. And so they're still bickering about, oh no, what are we going to do? There was this, they lost sight of what the real lesson of the feeding of the multitudes was supposed to be. They didn't forget that it happened. They forgot the lesson they were supposed to learn. As I'm sure after they collected all that pile of food, after just a few fish and loaves fed thousands of people and there was that much left over, they had to, in that moment, come to terms with, wow, what a supernatural guy we're following. I'm so glad when he said, come follow me, we did it. This is cool. This is amazing. But then it just sort of stopped. Like they didn't ponder it and muse it and say, how does this apply? How do I adapt what I'm doing and thinking now so that when I move forward, my faith is not still back to where when he asks me, how are we going to feed them? I have to go back into, oh man, I don't know. I forgot. How does this work again? Give thanks and pray. That's what Jesus did. He took the fish, the loaves, he gave thanks, he prayed, and God did the rest. But they had forgotten. Peter touches this even stronger and deeper in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9. Because if we don't learn these lessons that we're supposed to learn and remember them, and not just remember the event, but remember, what was I supposed to learn from that? What was I supposed to take away from that? Then we don't mature, we don't grow, and if anything, we can actually regress and miss this whole point of maturing, which is what I feel like part of this message is. Maturing through remembering the previous steps that we've taken. Peter in verse 9 of 2 Peter 1, 9 says, he's gone through a list of the characteristics of maturing believers, the ones that are getting there. And he lists a whole bunch of traits that are the sign of someone who's growing, who's healthy, who's becoming stronger in the faith. And he says, for he who lacks these things, that's the characteristics and the traits that he's just listed. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. You can't get any more nearsighted than you can't see anything. You're so short-sighted, even to the point of being blind about where you're going, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. That's the most tragic thing we could forget, is that Jesus has cleansed us from our sins, that he has washed us, that he poured out all the contents that were just, and then washed us. I don't know. Just remembering when giving one of my kids instructions to wash out an old chili pot. There's still about this much left in the bottom, big stock pot, and they just put about that much more water on top and then shoved a sponge down in there and just started like washing us. It's like, oh, just to think about, right? He didn't just stir our lives up and just make it a little better or a little less stuck to the sides of the container of this life that we're in. He set us free. He cleansed us. We can't forget that he took everything that was in us that was of the rotten human nature that was fallen in sin through what Adam did in the garden. We were born into that. He emptied us out. He took all of that out. He put a new heart in us. And then he fills us with his Holy Spirit. He cleansed the vessel so that the temple of God is now us. That's the amazing thing of what Jesus does. He cleansed us. How could we forget that? It says that if we forget that, Peter's saying, we become so short-sighted that we'll never mature and we'll never have all the characteristics that we're supposed to have to be able to touch the community that he's placed us in. We'll just be introspective. We'll just be a blind person's just worried about not hurting themselves. I just don't want to trip over anything and get hurt. I don't want to bump into something and spill what I'm doing or break something. And then a blind person with no vision that's that short-sighted spiritually has forgotten something. You were once separated. I was once lost. I was once blind. I was once without mercy and grace. But then I repented and I received Jesus and he became everything that I would ever need. for my life to be cleansed. So whether it's through praise, through obedience, through thankfulness, whatever you need to really start pouring your heart into, let's let our lives be marked and to be known in this community as people who are just thankful for seemingly no reason sometimes. People who are obedient to the commands that Jesus gave. Love your neighbor. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And be known as a people that are praising. Because if we do those three things, we're going to stay connected. We're not going to forget Him. Because our youth's going to get renewed like the eagles. We're going to soar above the stuff that's going on that's dragging everybody else down. Let's just stand together. Lord, this morning I'm just aware of a sense of fatigue that I just felt when I came into this room this morning. And so, Lord, I just pray right now that You would allow us to remember Your name, to remember that it's the name above every name, that it's the name at which every knee will bow. Lord, that Your name has been given to us, that full provision has been given to us through the name of Jesus. That, Lord, the things in our lives that You've shown Your faithfulness to us through, we pray that we would not forget those things. Lord, if there are things that need to be called back to our memory supernaturally by Your Spirit, then I pray that now those were the way that You said the Holy Spirit would come and He would bring to our remembrance the words that You've spoken. That, Lord, Your word is truth, and so we want to remember and retain and be able to go back to those places that remind us of how great You are, that You will never leave us and You will never forsake us. God, this morning we thank You that You, by Your Spirit, would continually remind us of our need of You, that we could go through our days just under our breath even, breathing thanksgiving, breathing praise, remembering that it's our job to love the people that You've placed in our lives. Remembering that Your command to us is to love You. And as we do, to love our neighbor. And Lord, we know that if we do these things, we will never stumble. We will never forget. What a great God we serve. A God of mercy, a God of love, a God who never gives up on His children. Lord, if there's anyone this morning that's just dealing with a sense of disconnect, then I pray that this would be a morning where they would reconnect. Through simple words of faith and reconnection, that they would make it a point as they're leaving this place, as they're driving home, to just look out and find something that they can be thankful for, that they can praise You for. A person that needs to be loved that You can remind them of. So they may have to go out of their way to do it, Lord, but that they would do it. And as they obey that word, they would find a connection back to You, Lord. Because You've never moved and You've never left us. But Lord, sometimes we just drift because we're not focused on the work You've given us to do. So Jesus, this morning we just praise You, we thank You, we bless You. We know that without You, we can do nothing. And so we trust You, Lord, to lead us, to guide us, and to direct us as we go into this week, as we go into the rest of this day, knowing that You go before us and You want us there with You. We want You there with us, Jesus. We thank You for all that You're doing in Jesus' name.